Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're devoting the hour to severe weather that's moving across Northern California, which brings me to the levees, reservoirs, and more broadly, critical water infrastructure across the state. Jay Lund is a civil engineer, professor, and co-director of the UC Davis Center for Watershed Sciences and joins us now. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
How are you viewing the series of storms through the lens of civil engineering and water infrastructure across California?
Well, you've heard a lot from a lot of other folks about the implications of this storm for electricity systems, telephone poles, local flooding, all of those things. There's a tremendous effect on local communities, as we've heard. I look at it a little bit more from a little longer term perspective in terms of the droughts and the bigger floods, bigger regional floods that we've seen in California over time. Certainly these floods have been, these high weather events have been raising the reservoirs. The reservoirs, almost all of them, started off this year very, very low. And now Folsom is up into flood control operations, which is where it often is this time of year. So I think Folsom has essentially returned to normal for about this time of year, maybe a little bit wetter than normal, but we still have an awful lot of room left in Oroville, Shasta, some of the other big reservoirs.
Yeah, and we've had consecutive dry winters in recent years. I go back to 2017, 5 years ago, where it was one of the wettest winters in state history. If not, I think at the time it possibly was the wettest. How does this, what we're experiencing, it, you know, a week or two into the new year, compare to the winter season of 2017?
It's not quite as wet. Actually, I was looking at the records just this morning. Last year at this time for Northern California, we had more overall precipitation than we've had so far this year. Yet last year turned out to be a drought year because all the storm systems shut off after the December events.
When you're looking at the water infrastructure, the flood infrastructure for many communities, how are the levees holding up?
I think for the most part, pretty well. We have thousands of miles of levees in the Central Valley, but we have had some failures up on the Cosumnes River on some of the smaller privately owned levees.
Is that to be expected, or why did those happen?
I don't know. I'll be curious to see what the forensics look like after they've had a chance to go through them. But it's not uncommon to have some of the smaller levees fail in events like we've seen. We put a lot more investment into making sure that the really big levees that are protecting cities are much stronger.
Right. Given that we've had consecutive dry winters, does drought or drought-like conditions, can it conceal or hide the weak points or fragility of certain water infrastructure like levees, since they haven't really been used in the way historically that they have been during wet seasons?
Well, high water always tests levees. So if you haven't had a test recently, we know how we all do.
How are the reservoirs holding up? I know you mentioned that Folsom in our area is at flood stage, correct? But what about the larger ones in our state, like Shasta and Oroville?
Shasta and Oroville are filling up somewhat, filling up at a good rate, but still have a long way to go. Same with Trinity further north and New Malones further south.
And I would imagine those potentially can go up, given that our snowpack is looking good for this time of year.
Yeah, I'm especially happy to see the very high snowpack. What you'd like to see ideally is a good bit of room in the reservoirs and a very high snowpack. That protects you both from flood and droughts.
Right. I mean, that's, I think Chief Meteorologist Mark Fine at KCRA called it our largest reservoir. It is our snowpack. It provides, you know, roughly a third of the state's water supply. During this time, a big question that usually comes up is, why is all this water going out into the ocean? So that brings up the debate and the conversation surrounding storing this water. What are the challenges that go into this, given that we have these very dramatic pendulum swings from drought-like conditions for years after year after year, and then coupled with, you know, severe weather and high water events and wanting to store and hold on to all that water?
Yeah, it's always a... ironic at this time of year when we're making releases for flood control so that we have less flood risk, but we can't capture all that water downstream to keep it around in case there's a drought. A drought is extended. That's just a fact of life. I think it's from an economic perspective, it's important to realize that we can't economically build enough capacity to capture all the water. It's like the idea of let's building free build freeways so large that we never have a traffic jam. That's just not a reasonable proposition.
What conversations are you having with your colleagues in civil engineering, given, you know, the change in circumstances with California's weather and lack of rain from, you know, for a few years, and then severe weather like what we're going through right now?
California has a unique hydrology for the whole country, actually. It has more flood years and drought years per average year than any place else. We have an extreme set of climates here. And the changes in climate that we're seeing in our forecast are going to make California's hydrology much more like it's much more extreme. So it's going to take California's already extreme hydrology and make it more so.
Are there areas of the state where you're more concerned about when it comes to water infrastructure and the reliability of it?
Well, I think every place really has different issues, and has some issues. Certainly, even localized areas with their storm drains and the like, you can get appreciable flooding, appreciable damages, occasionally a death, just from local flooding. We have the tributaries, I think, are probably the most vulnerable in the sense that there's a lawful, many, many river miles of them. And we pay less attention to them than we do to the main rivers. The main rivers have reservoirs and big levee and bypass systems, but the tributaries, like we've seen on the Cosumnes this year, we tend to pay a little less attention to them. And there's so many thousands of miles of them.
If you can help us visualize, I mean, there's a whole network of water infrastructure from the State Water Project where you have levees and then obviously reservoirs. Kind of help us visualize the network that goes on across the state when it comes to moving this water around and storing it.
Well, you can look at it like a tree with all of its many branches and sub-branches that certainly we worry about the main stem of the rivers that have the major cities on them and things like that, and where a levee failure can inundate tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. But even up on the branches, even up on the small branches, there are real people that live up there and real property that can be damaged. And you want to try to keep people safe all along that whole network. We do a pretty good job, as you've seen from previous guests, with trying to warn people and get them out of the way and give them a lot of advance notice and give them a lot of assistance if you can get to them. But it's always a struggle because we've got millions of people potentially throughout that network that could be flooded.
Given that we have more rain and snow in the foreseeable forecast, are we getting to a point where it's a little uncomfortable, where it's too much, or in the big scheme of things, is this rate of precipitation promising?
Well, I think the rate of precipitation is promising if we keep it up, maybe at a little bit less amount in terms of droughts. In terms of floods, given how much storage space we have in most of the reservoirs, I'm not too worried about the main stems of the reservoirs, but I am worried about the tributaries. We're likely to see some more flooding on the tributaries.
Are there other tributaries in addition to the Cosumnes that you're concerned about?
Well, the Bear River was forecast to be flooding to very high levels, but the more recent forecasts are a little bit lower. If we get a few more big storms like we've been seeing, then I'll be more worried. But I'd like to see the rivers die down a little bit. That would help.
We usually tie California with drought. Does this get us out of drought?
Not necessarily. As I mentioned before, we had more precipitation at this time last year than we have had this year, and yet last year became a drought year because the storm system shut off. So we could still have a drought year, but I think it's less and less likely, especially given the forecasts for more rain.
All right, so say hypothetically, if the spigot turns off after the wet weather that we're going to be experiencing over the next 7 to 10 days, going up to the higher elevations to the Sierra, we're well above average for this time of year. Will that hold through the drier months?
It depends on how warm things become. If we get an unseasonable warm spell, we can have a lot of that snow melt off and then we might have to evacuate it through the water, the reservoir system, because we're still in flood season. So ideally, you'd like to see that warm temperatures start coming at the end of after the flood season has ended.
Does what we're experiencing in the first 2 weeks of the year remind you of another year or another winter that we've been through?
A little bit reminder of 1997, which was a real gully washer. And
And you say that cautiously.
I say that cautiously. I don't think we're going to see anything like that. But it's still possible. We still have two, three or more wet months to go through, potential flood season months.
Remind us what happened in 97.
97 was either the biggest or second biggest flood on record for much of Northern California. I experienced it actually. My family and I were up in Seattle, and we were snowed in for several days. So it was a it, that it just goes to show you how fast and how big you can have storm floods occur in California. We're going to always have to be prepared for those events coming in. And the fortunate part is this year we're starting off with pretty low reservoir levels still in most of the major reservoirs.
Yeah, it's easy to forget those years when you have years of drought and these dramatic swings in weather in California. I guess finally, Professor Lund, how do you want people to think about the weather that we're going through? We're obviously directly experiencing it, whether it's a high wind event and outages and downed trees, but how do you want us to think about it in the bigger picture?
Now, again, it reinforces the extremes that California's climate already has and is going to have more of, and our need to prepare both for floods and for droughts. We'll probably need to expand our channel capacities and make some other changes in infrastructure, change some of our water management in general, as we always have for more than a century. Every drought, every flood gives us lessons for what we should be learning and what we should be doing before the next flood and before the next drought.
Professor Lund, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Jay Lund is a civil engineer professor and co-director of the UC Davis Center for Watershed Sciences. That is it for Insight today, but we will have continuous updates on these weather events on capradio.org. You can learn more about our guests on today's show at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Stay safe. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.